Hello, this is Jensen Franklin, and thank you so much for joining us for this week's podcast. Our goal is to provide you with biblically based teachings that will challenge, inspire, and equip you to live for Jesus. If you haven't already, I'd love for you to go ahead and subscribe today to this podcast so you can get the latest updates from us and you don't ever have to miss a new message. Let's go right into the service. Recorded at Free Chapel. I believe it's going to bless you today.
2 Samuel chapter 12. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and one poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished. It grew up together with him and his children. It ate of his food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom as if it was like a daughter to him. And behold, a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare a meal for the wayfaring man. He took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, this man who has done this will surely die." And he said, "Restore fourfold the lamb, because he did this thing, because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man. You are the man." And I want to talk to you for just a few moments about this particularly verse 4. "And there came a traveler, and a traveler came to the rich man." Everything in the story pivots and changes when a traveler shows up. I want to talk to you about what that traveler represents in our life. The traveler took something from the poor man that was precious. And he'll take something from you if you allow him in and you feed him. This may seem strange to us that the parable that Nathan gives to confront David for sin in his life, he says there was a traveler who was coming through and he stopped at a rich man's house. And rather than taking of the thousands and thousands of sheep in his flocks, multiple flocks, he goes to a poor man's house and takes the only lamb that he had, which was a pet more than a farm animal. It was a pet. He lived in the house. The scripture was clear. Ate from their table. That's nasty. But he ate from their table. How many of you know people that have pets that do that a lot? That's good for you, but I don't like that when I'm trying to eat. Come on. I'm already making enemies, and I just started. But this rich man who had thousands of sheep goes and takes something from the poor man, the only one he's got, the lamb, and slays it and feeds it to someone who is called a traveler. I think he's called a traveler because it speaks to us. I believe the traveler represents, at least it is in this message, going to represent our thought life. Our thought life. He said, "Beware of the traveler." The traveler is coming through. There's a traveler that's coming through. And you can't help it if the traveler comes through. But you don't have to let him in, and you don't have to feed him. And the traveler represents our thought life. You see, there are thoughts that are coming at us all the time. Thoughts that could cause us to make decisions that could really wreck our lives. And you can't help it if the thought comes at you, because we live in a world it's just a climate that thoughts are constantly trying to come at us. But the mistake that this man made was when he opened the door and he let the traveler in and he started feeding him. And this is what I'm preaching on today. Beware of the traveler. This whole story changes when the traveler gets in and the man begins to feed the traveler. What caused David to go from being a warrior to a weakling? What caused the saint to become a sinner? What caused this man who was so powerful and so anointed to somehow become a weakling? It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a week's time. He was 50 years of age, 30 when he first became king of Israel, and he reigned for 20 years. And for 20 years, Satan watched him. Our enemy watches what we smile at. Our enemy watches what we react to. I marvel at the patience of hell. Hell is very patient. It doesn't take you down quick. It just watches you and probes and watches. And the enemy watched this man named David. You see, David never considered how far one thought could take him. One evil thought transpired into a look, and the look led to lust, and the lust led to lust, and eventually it all started with an evil mind. It all started when he let the traveler in. There came a thought to him one day when the kings went to war. He was at home in his palace, and he looked out and he saw a woman bathing. And that's the traveler coming by. You can't help it if you see something. You live in a natural world. You have eyes that see. You have ears that hear. You notice the world and the things that you're in. But it's when you don't just let the traveler, you need to let them keep traveling. But when you open the door and invite them in and then start feeding the traveler, you start slaying the lamb in your house to feed the traveler. The bad thoughts, the evil thoughts. A lamb is dying in you when you're feeding the wrong thoughts. And it wasn't that just he saw her. If at that moment he would have said, Lord, I need to look this way and I need to go in here and I need to sing a song of praise and get my harp out, get me some scripture out and get my mind right. But he started feeding that thought. He began to ask questions. You should read the story. He asked questions. Who is she? Well, first of all, you're a married man, so what difference does it make who she is? You shouldn't be looking on her Facebook. You shouldn't be looking up her email. You shouldn't be asking questions about her. You're a married man. And then he invited, sent for her. I'm sure she probably needs prayer. She probably needs someone to talk to. She might need some counseling. Sent for her. You're a married man. Why are you sending for her? What's he doing? He's feeding that thought. He's feeding that thought. He never dreamed. He never considered how far an evil thought could take him. It all began with an evil thought. Listen to this. Little did he know that before long he would be an adulterer. He would be a murderer. He would be a liar. He would bear false witness. He would dishonor his parents. He would steal. He would kill. He would covet. He broke all 10 commandments with his sin. And do you know how he did it? It all started with a simple thought. Is he saw it, he should have turned away. You can't help it if a bird flies over your head, but you don't need to let him build a nest and hatch eggs in your hair. There's a difference. And it's not wrong to be tempted. Even Jesus was tempted, but it's when you open the door and you start feeding the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, feeding depression, feeding hopelessness, feeding negativism. When you start feeding that thing, it starts killing the lamb. And it's going to cost you something. Hey, I'm preaching today. Watch that thought life. Watch that thought life. What are you thinking about? One thought. He never considered how far one evil thought could take him. There are seducing spirits that are loose. The thought patterns of this world are constantly coming at us through music, through billboards, through magazines, through internet, through television, through movies. It's constantly coming at us. The travelers knocking on the door of every person under the sound of my voice at every one of our campuses. The enemy is sending the traveler, and your job is when temptation comes to the door, you don't open the door and start feeding that one that wants to take you down. David lost control of his thought life. David never dreamed that it would take him that far. The Bible said that David took for himself in 2 Samuel 5 and verse 13 more concubines and more wives. See, kings were forbid to have too much of three things. God said, if you're a king, in Deuteronomy, I think it's the 17th chapter, he said, you're not to have many horses. I don't know why. You're not to have much gold. I don't know why. And then he said, you're not to have many wives. Well, David, after a great battle, slew his war horses as a sacrifice to God. He didn't have a problem with the horses. David, after he made millions and billions of dollars, took all of that money and gave it to Solomon so he could build the temple. So he didn't have a problem with the gold. But he had a problem with the girls. I used to preach in the old church, there's three things that'll get you if you're a man. Gold, girls, or glory. Either pride or money or the lust of the flesh. And I'm telling you, nothing has changed. The devil still has the same weapons. And notice that the enemy studied David, and demons came back, I'm sure, and reported to Satan, listen, he doesn't have a problem with the money. He can have money, and money doesn't have him. He doesn't have a problem with the horses. He's willing to sacrifice whatever you want. It's not about the transportation or the house or the stuff. His weakness is the women. The enemy saw him looking, and the enemy sees what we smile at. He sees it. He sees it. The devil looked at him and said, I found his weakness. It's the opposite sex. The devil couldn't get him with the horses and the gold. And he said, we can get him with the wife thing, the multiple wife thing. Listen, folks, you can't live wrong and die right. Temptation is the devil looking through the keyhole. Yielding is when you open up the door and let him in. There are restless spirits that are gripping men and women in their homes and in their families and young people. And when that restless spirit comes on you, the enemy will send the traveler. And if you start feeding the wrong thoughts, the evil thoughts, the wicked thoughts, what are you thinking on? The Bible said, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. Notice the threefold step to destruction. When lust has conceived, where's it conceived? In the mind. It brings forth sin. How? Through the deeds of the body. What you think in your mind, you'll do in time. And then it bringeth forth death. That's spiritual death. But it all starts in the mind. It all starts with your thinking. What do you think about in private? What are you thinking about? What are you toying with? Many people aren't doing it, but they're toying with temptation. Thinking about it. Constantly thinking about it. Listen to this. Private thoughts lead to public actions. What you do in private and think in private, it's a matter of time before you manifest in public. Isaiah 55 and 7 said, let the wicked man forsake his wickedness, listen to this, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. I think it's so significant that God says, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to not just stop doing the wicked stuff, but let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. One of the signs of an unrighteous person is what kind of thoughts they think on constantly. What are you feeding? Are you feeding the lust of the flesh? What kind of music are you listening to? What kind of stuff are you looking at? What kind of things are out of control in your life and you're feeding the traveler? You're not sending him on down the road. It's not wrong to be tempted, but it's wrong when you open the door and start feeding that thought. You got to get a grip on it. The Bible said in Ephesians 6 that Satan comes with a bow and arrow approach. It said, hold up the shield of faith that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. He has a bow and an arrow, and he stands way off, and he shoots fiery arrows, fiery darts, and he hopes that they'll find a place. Here it comes. Ooh, he shoots it from way out there. And if you don't have the shield of faith, you'll get a hot thought in your head. Think I'll get drunk tonight. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? It's a hot thought. If you don't have the shield of faith, folks, if you just let anything come in your mind and then you start feeding it, the devil will just keep shooting hot thoughts. And they're coming at you from every direction. You have to take control of that. Bible said you take your thoughts captive. You take captive the thoughts of the enemy and the vain imagination. You don't sit around and let the enemy just fill your mind with filth and trash. You take authority over that. You take authority over that. He wants to charge into us with evil thoughts. Jesus said, the prince of this world comes and finds nothing in me. If the enemy can't get nothing in you, he can't get you to do things that you don't want to do. He has to first get it in you before he get you to do it. And if you're taking in and feeding ungodly thoughts in your life, feeding on things that you know are not right, then the enemy is getting in you, and before he can take you out, he has to get in you. The prince of this world comes and he finds nothing in me, Jesus said. Some of you have your mind more on things than you do Jesus. The kingdom of thingdom, prisoners of plenty, but the challenge in the age in which we're living is to love the Lord our God, the Bible said, with all of your mind, soul, and strength. Isn't that an interesting verse there? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and with your mind. Do you love God? I know you love him with your heart. I know you wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't love the Lord, but are you loving him with your mind? Are you loving him with the 6 inches from this ear to this ear? The biggest battle that you'll ever face is not out there. It's from one ear to the other. This area right here will determine victory or defeat in your life. This area right here will determine whether you're pure or you're impure, whether you're clean or you're unclean. This area right here, and I have to have this area in love with Jesus. I can't have a carnal mind. To be carnally minded, Paul said, is death. It's death to your dreams. It's death to your business. It's death to your integrity. It's death to your character to be carnally minded. Are you a carnal minded person? Philippians 4:8 said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, come on, everybody, help me preach. Whatsoever. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, come on, think on these things. Are you loving the Lord with all your mind? If you are, then that's how you do it. If there's anything good, invite it in and feed it, feed it, feed it. If there's anything wholesome, invite it in and feed it, feed it, feed it. If there's anything of praise and good report, invite it in. You want to get beyond your depression, don't invite depression in and feed it.
Invite victory in. We're not called to be a bunch of depressed people. We're called to reign in this life. Yeah, I get down, but I don't stay down. There's only one direction. I'm coming up. I'm always coming up. I'll never stay down. Rejoice not over me, O my enemies, for when I fall, I shall rise again. Come on and clap your hands and say, think on these things. Think on these things. Think on these things. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. I lost my job this week, but my God shall supply all your needs. Invite that in and feed it and watch it feed you. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. Invite that in. Oh, but the doctor said, but the Bible said, by his stripes we're healed. Invite that in and start feeding that. I see these amazing students that have graduated here and about to go off to college. And the truth is, the traveler's going to come with everything he can and try his best to get into their life with unbelief, with doubt. Many kids who were raised in church go off to college and forget about God. Many of them stop going to church when they get in college. They'll teach you, some professor will get up and teach you that there is no God and that you are a cosmic accident, that you have no purpose. You're an accident. They'll get up and say that you're the product of evolution. That's not what the Bible said. And I don't believe that the Bible and science, by the way, are contradicting one another. As a matter of fact, if you will study some of these issues, and maybe we need to bring in apologists sometimes and bring in some people who will teach our kids how to know what they believe. We don't deny that dinosaurs existed and all that stuff, but the first six chapters of Genesis tells you the who of creation. The important thing is, I may not know how, may never know how. I'm going to leave the how alone, but I do know the who. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was not an accident. Nor did I come from an animal. The Bible said in Genesis that he made the birds, the fowls of the earth, the fish, and the animals of one flesh, and the humans of another flesh. That means I did not come from that species. Well, where did you come from? I am made in the image of God. He took mud, he made me into his image, and he breathed the breath of life into my nostrils. I'm so glad I believe that. I don't believe that I'm an accident. I believe that before I was in my mother's womb, I was in God's heaven, and he sent me through my mother. I didn't come from my mother. I came from God. He called you, Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I ordained you for a purpose. You were not an afterthought. And if you open up that door to unbelief, and they'll come and they'll sound so smart, and they'll tell you all religions, they borrowed stories in Christianity from this religion and that virgin birth. You know there were other religions that had virgin birth. You know, they'll tell you all kinds of things and just try to get you all mixed up and you invited in. And I'm not saying, we're not afraid to scrutinize the truth. But you better know the truth. in the world you're going in, if you just hear one side and open it up and start feeding that, next thing you know, you're going over into a Buddhist temple trying to get in touch with God. You're going over to the mosque trying to pray some prayer all day long to get to Muhammad. You're trying all these religions. That's somebody that didn't have something solid inside of them. I know in whom I have believed. I'm going to preach now. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It's the only name that is above every name, that if you don't call on that name, you don't get to heaven. You may be good, but you won't go to heaven. You may be moral, but you won't go to heaven. You may be religious, but you won't go to heaven unless you go through Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah! Let's shout praise God. Hallelujah! I wrote this many, many years ago. I'm going to reuse it right now. They teach that we came from little muddy drops of water called protoplasm that became a tadpole. And the tadpole got to wiggling its tail. It kept wiggling until it became a fish with fins. Maybe that's true. Maybe that's how they evolved. I don't know. That's how they might have come out. Then a storm came and blew him out of the water, and he started flipping around in the sand until he knocked his scales off. When his scales fell off, he grew four legs. Started going around eating. There's more fruit up in the trees than down there, so he stood up on his hind legs more, and so therefore he stands erect now. And then he started nibbling on the grass, and can you believe it? A cold spell came and froze the world, and he grew some hair. And he noticed there was more fruit up in the tree than on the ground, so he moved up into the tree and grew a tail and hooked his tail around branches, became a monkey. Then from the monkey, eventually through climation and evolution, some of the hair fell off. He lost the tail pretty much. And now from goo to you by way of the zoo. That's how you got here. My Bible said the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It takes more faith to believe that junk than it does to believe that God created man and God made him a living being. Whole generation. You've heard me tell this story, but a kid goes off to college and he heard his professor get up and just mock the Bible and creation and all of that, and how stupid these Christians are, how ignorant they are. I'm going to tell you something. You remember me telling you this. Sin will break you down. It's fun for a season, but there will come a time when you'll yearn for what you feel in here this Sunday morning. You'll yearn for an anchor that you can hold on to in your troubled storm. You'll yearn to believe like you believe right now. And this boy listened to the professor mock the Bible and teach on evolution. And when he finished, he said, "Sir, could I give a comment?" And he said, "Sure." He said, "I wrote a poem. Would you like to hear it?" He said, "Yes." He said, "In the beginning, it was a microbe beginning to begin. And then it was a tadpole with its tail tucked in. And then it was a monkey climbing in a tree. But now it's a professor with a PhD. I'm so glad I believe that I'm chosen, that I'm called, that I'm favored, that I'm anointed, that God so loved me that he sent his son for me, that he has a plan for our lives, that we are a child of the Most High King and God, Jesus Christ. Does anybody believe that? Clap your hands and shout about it just a minute. I know the truth. What's happening is this generation is taking the traveler in, feeding it. Romans 1, verse 21, all through there, Romans 1, it says that he said, because they, you know what, I'm going to do what I want to do. Thank you. Some said, you better hurry. They want to get to the buffet. No, I'm not letting that traveler in. You don't need to feed yourself. No, ma'am. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful to him because they were futile in their thoughts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made incorruptible man. Birds and four-footed animals and worshiping creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness. Everybody say, God, don't give me up. The danger of letting thoughts in that are evil and feeding pornography and filth and trash and ungodliness in your life is there does come a point where God gives you up. He gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, exchange the truth of God for a lie, worship and serve the creator or the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this reason, God gave them up, there it is again, to their vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in lust one for another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is due. Listen to this. And even as they did not like to retain God in their minds or knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds. King James says, reprobate minds. What does that mean? Look at the next verse. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, the ungeneration, unforgiving, unmerciful. Knowing the righteous judgment of God, they gave themselves over. Folks, what I'm preaching is so serious that if you keep feeding that stuff, there comes a place where God says, I give you over to it. The Bible said of Lot that he was vexed in his spirit by what he heard and what he saw. Are you vexed anymore? Do you get disturbed at anything you see or anything you hear? Or are you just like the world? Can you hear anything and it not bother you? Can you see anything and it not convict you? It all begins with a thought. Esau, the Bible said, was a profane man. The word profane means thoroughfare. His mind was open to anything. Is your mind open to anything? Do you have anything that says I need to turn it or turn it off or I need to walk out of this or I need to get out? I don't want to hear that. That's wrong. Because what you're feeding the traveler, and he's going to take a lamb. It's going to cost you something. I'm almost done. Please understand me. You better watch your thought life. Input determines output. Proverbs 6:27. Can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Goes on to say, will his clothes not be consumed? Before the devil can get you in the bed with somebody, he has to get in your head. He's going to get in your head. He'll come through your ears, through your eyes, through what you set your heart on. We're living in an hour when we must have the mind of Christ, where we must have what the Bible calls in Romans 8, the renewing of the mind. We must have the whole armor of God, including the helmet of salvation that protects our minds. The upper room was where the Holy Spirit fell. And my mind is my upper room of the temple of God, which is my body. And on Pentecost Sunday, wouldn't it be something if the Holy Spirit would fall and the fire and the wind would come and blow out all of the filth and bring the fire of purity and sanctify our minds to have the mind of Christ again, to love God with all of our mind, our thoughts. I wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long Lord, I'm coming home, coming home, coming home, never. If he's coming back in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you need to have a clean mind, a clean heart, clean spirit, and a clean body. Jesus is coming again. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. No one moving, please. At every campus, stand to your feet. You know, while I preached this sermon, it came out very different than the first service. Which, I mean, almost a totally different message. It's strange. So that's how I know the way that I veered from what I had written down. That's how I know the Holy Spirit is at work mightily. He's doing things that I don't even know he's doing. Speaking in ways that only he can speak. You hear a voice inside of my voice. And he's saying, it's time to come home. Hey, backslider, it's time to come home. Hey, young person, it's time to come home. Hey, dad. Hey, mom. Where's your mind? Watch that thought life. Just one thought can take so much from your house. So much from your family, so much from your life. Beware of the traveler. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you know that I'm preaching to you at all of our campuses, if
you know that the Holy Spirit is drawing you. You know, for some of you, it's an addiction, is the traveler. And it keeps coming back and knocking. Some things God set you free from. He set you free from drugs. Don't you dare, because they're legalizing it now, go back to it, because it'll get worse and worse and worse. Just because other people can do it doesn't mean God's called you to do it. If you feel guilty after you do it, it was sin. I don't care if nobody else is bothered. I go by what I feel and what the Bible says. Some of you, it's alcoholism. For some of you, it's sexual immorality. I don't want God to give you over. I don't want him to get, he has not. The reason you're standing listening to this preacher is you have not crossed the line of being given over. He's sending his word and his spirit one more time to draw you to the cross, where there really is life, and life more abundantly. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Pastor, I would like today for the Holy Spirit to shampoo my thoughts with the word of God. I would love today to leave here with my mind purified, sanctified, having the mind of Christ. I would love to leave here today knowing that I've shut the door on the traveler. I'd love to leave here knowing I'm right with God. I'm no longer running from him. I'm running to him. Pray for me. I want to get right with God. If that's you right where you're standing, raise your hand as high as you can get it. There's no shame in it. There's victory in it. Hands are going up all over this room at every campus. Lift your hand high. Come on. It's no time to be a coward. It's time to take a stand for Jesus Christ and say, I choose life. I choose life. Every one of you that have raised your hand from the top to the bottom, wherever you are, at every campus, get out of your seat and come down to the front as quick as you can come. Come on, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to pray a prayer with you. You don't have to be afraid about it. You don't have to be nervous about it. Just do it. Just do it. There's victory in every step. There's chains that break with every step. There's victory that comes. There's faith that builds with every step. It's a step of faith. It's a step of faith. Just take a step. Just take a step toward God. One step toward God in the right direction. That's it. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Church, would you clap your hands and thank God for freedom and health and healing and deliverance. Come on. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Somebody else needs to come in the overflows. Come. 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 This is your day. This is your hour. If you're watching by television, pick up the phone and dial the number that's on the screen. We love you. We'll pray for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Let him today fill you with thoughts of victory, thoughts of life. You may have contemplated suicide and giving up and quitting. Don't you let that traveler in. You let life in. You let Jesus in. You let favor in. You let victory in. And feed that, and God will give you a better life, a new life, a brand new life. It's time for a change in your life. Come on. Come on. Come on. Somebody else, hurry. Everybody in this room, let's lift our hands high toward heaven. You say, I've never raised my hands before. Well, let's just get that part taken care of right here. Just lift those hands up high, unashamed. Say, Jesus, I mean it. I surrender everything completely to you. I love what I feel right now. I feel your presence, and it's something money can't buy. It's something the world cannot give me. And so, Lord, I receive you as my Savior. I know you love me. I know you died for me, and you rose from the dead for me. And today, you are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. Now give me a clean mind, a pure mind. Give me wholesome thoughts. Give me the thoughts of you and your word and your truth. Right now, I ask you to renew my mind, to give me the mind of Christ. And I receive
a brand new way of doing life. Come on, just say it. Put your foot down on it. I receive a brand new way of doing life. I'm changing my direction. I'm changing my thinking. I'm changing everything about me because Jesus is in me now. Now lift those hands and just say, thank you, Jesus. He just gave you eternal life. He just gave you total forgiveness. He just gave you a clean slate. He just gave you a brand new name. He just wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Would you give him praise? Would you give him honor? Would you thank him for that miracle? Thank him for that miracle. And I know our time is gone, but I want us all over this room just to raise up our hands right now. And I want you to lay your hand, one of your hands on your head. And I want you to say, Lord, I want you to fill my upper room with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want the fire and the wind so that I don't think the thoughts of discouragement, depression, fear, worry. I want the thoughts of God. I know there's a battle been going on in my life. The enemy's tried his best to send the traveler in with bad news and gloom and sorrow. But in the name of Jesus, I shut the door and send him on traveling. And now I receive peace and now I receive joy. It's not the joy of your family. It's not the joy of your finances. It's not the joy of your house or your car. It's called the joy of the Lord. No man gave it to me and no man can take it from me. Throw your hands up and say, I receive new joy. I receive a new way of thinking. I receive a renewed mind. Come on, say it. I receive a new mind today.
I really want to say thank you for joining us this week. If you haven't already, make sure you click on the subscription button and leave us a review. It helps this podcast reach even more people when you comment, when you give us your feedback. For more messages and inspirational materials, download the Jensen Franklin app, or you can head over to jensenfranklin.org. I want to thank all of you who give generously to help us produce weekly content like this to reach the world with the message of Jesus. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.